You're listening to the Clutter Fairy Weekly, a weekly webcast and podcast brought to you by the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas. If you'd like to participate in one of our live webcasts, please visit cfhou.com/weekly. You'll find a calendar of upcoming webcasts, as well as instructions for joining the Zoom meeting via the app or by phone. We'd love to see you. That URL again is cfhou.com/weekly. Now here's the weekly episode. Enjoy.
Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. This is the Clutter Fairy Weekly for January 17th, 2023. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, certified professional organizer and owner of the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is the webcast and podcast that digs deep into the clutter that piles up between you and the life that you want to be living. We explore the habits and behaviors that lead to clutter, and we suggest strategies to slow the accumulation, reduce the collection, and comfortably manage the stuff we decide to keep.
If you're new to our Zoom meeting, we would like to let you know that you can share your comments and questions via the chat feature, and I'll try to make sure Gail answers your questions before we move on to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment yourself via audio or video. We're going to start, as we usually do, by revisiting last week's weekly tittle, which was called Where Does It Hurt? The assignment was to start planning or refreshing your 2023 organizing projects by spending time in reflection on your areas of concern. Let's hear from our participants in Zoom and Facebook who answered our tittle questions this week. Please let us know in the comments. Lisa shared her tittle response in a comment on our website. She provided answers for all of the self-reflection questions we asked in last week's tittle. Viewers and listeners can read Lisa's full answers on last week's show notes post at cfhou.com/tcfw151. But I'd like to share a couple of Lisa's answers and get your comments, Gail.
Okay.
In answer to the question, what seems overwhelming, Lisa answered, my daughter stuff. She's soon to be 13 and has dozens of hobbies. She has stuff all over the house.
13-year-olds, am I right? Everything grabs her attention and they run from one thing to another and they're always ignoring the trail of chaos that they leave behind. If she has so many hobbies, it's time to give her a work area for those hobbies and tell her that her things need to be contained in her bedroom and her work zone just like the rest of us. I'm sure it'll be an uphill battle, but today's topic will help you plan a space with her and get her set up to destroy one place only instead of the whole house. And then you can move anything you find in the house somewhere else into her designated spaces as a constant reinforcement of that. It'll be good for her to start taking responsibility for her own interests and their impact on your shared home spaces. And my message to her is, welcome to adulting, managing your own stuff.
The next question that I wanted to share from Lisa is, in answer to our question, what would you like to have when you're done? Lisa replied in part, I want a comfortable home I can have guests over to without cringing and feeling inadequate and embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm sure a whole bunch of the people in Zoom can relate. Nobody wants to feel inadequate or embarrassed in their own home. So setting a goal of a non-cringy house is a good one. Don't worry about making it a model home. Just make it comfortable for you to have the people over and be in your space with you. These are really attainable parameters. The idea that you want to aim for comfortable and non-cringy. Those are good goals to aim for. I'd recommend that you work on public areas first. So where will the people go when they come over? The room where everybody's going to sit is the obvious place to start. And the bathroom that you'd send them to use while they were there is a great place to start. So make those rooms work for you and for them, and then you can have somebody over. You can work on the private areas of the house when you've met your public area goals. And addressing what makes you have these negative feelings in your own home will give you so much relief, and it'll give you energy to work on the other areas of the house next. So good luck with it. I know that you can make a difference and start having those people over in 2023. So we're going to go team go. You can do it.
All right, before we get to our main topic, let's talk a little bit about what we learned from this week's survey. We started off by asking which rooms or spaces in your home are the most chronically in need of decluttering or organizing attention. The top answers were as follow: garage, 37%.
Surprised office. Me that one.
I know, it surprised me too. And maybe that's because it's winter, so no one's been doing any active management of the garage for a season or two.
Maybe.
So it's the garages are starting to get out of control.
It's also the last place things go to die.
Right.
It is the place where things get thrown when no one wants to look at them anymore.
Number two was office at 35%.
I realize
we may not have made that question completely clear, because whether we were talking about your office at work or your home office, that may not have been clear. Bedroom at 32%, closet at 30%, kitchen at 28%, and basement at 24%. Those were the top six vote getters.
And actually, if you think of garage and basement as similar areas, then that makes the number like 61,
much larger, right?
Yeah. And so that's like the sort of the long-term dead storage spaces. And 61% of that makes sense to me, that everybody's got that room to go. They got that deep storage area to work on.
We also asked our audience, was the home in which you spent most of your time as a child more cluttered, less cluttered, or about the same as your present home? 42% of respondents said that the home they grew up in was less cluttered than the one they live in now. 31% said that their childhood home was more cluttered than their present home. 19% said it was about the same. So no overwhelmingly clear message in those numbers, yeah. But we're willing to speculate that the greater availability of cheap consumer goods that we've had in Western countries in the last 50 years or so has created an overall trend for homes to be generally more cluttered than those of our parents or grandparents.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that. I can go with that speculation.
We went on to ask, how are your parents or other primary caregivers' attitudes and behaviors related to material possessions and or clutter when you were a child different from or similar to your own attitudes and behaviors now? Your answers to this question were all over the map of parent-child relationships. In fact, right. I found myself thinking the answers we got on this survey would keep several therapists very busy.
It's true. It's so true. Oh my gosh.
We could probably plan an entire episode on the topic of clutter and your parents. We might have to think about that.
Yes, absolutely.
Here are a few that we found particularly interesting. Mim said, only dad's study was given permission to be cluttered. He worked from home. All other rooms were uncluttered, kept picked up and dusted three times per week. We kids were part of the dusting schedule. Yuck. Pamela replied, the actual rooms in my parents' house and my home generally look very presentable, but Lord help you if you open a drawer or a closet.
This would make me laugh.
You might get knocked over by a wall of poorly organized clutter.
Yeah, I've seen that a million times. Absolutely. Making it publicly presentable, but privately disastrous.
And Tammy shared, periodically, my mom would throw out stuff while I was away. Anything left out. Because of this, I never felt like anything was truly mine. Now I have to look at everything before I can let it go. Trusting is hard.
Isn't it amazing how the way our parents handled clutter molds our response to it in our own homes? Tammy's mom was ruthless and threw out Tammy's stuff without consulting her. And as a result, she has a hard time letting go. Mom's process for her that felt normal and good to her was actually creating scars for Tammy. And Pamela's parents chose to prioritize making the house look presentable over functional. Since the excess stuff got moved into the closets and the drawers that were then totally non-functional, and you opened them and the wall of clutter, you know, came down on your head. Our parents certainly modeled many behaviors around clutter management, and some of those models worked and some of them didn't. I think it's the biggest exploration and growth in change that we have to do, that we have to recognize that what our parents did around clutter doesn't have to be what we do around it. And that sometimes you know, we all have our own feelings about clutter, and some of what they did was their own emotional response to stress, overwhelm, dealing with what's happening in your family life. And they didn't have time to do everything that you might have wanted, or they did it in such a way, how they coped with the stress was throwing things away when you weren't there and things like that. And so we have those experiences with our parents, and they teach us something, and their teachings may not be the best options. So I think it's important for us to examine, just because they did it that way doesn't mean that we have to do it that way. We can look at it differently. We can be grownups now and surrender the lessons that we got as not useful or not helpful now, and move on to something that is. And so it is, like you said, a whole bunch of people could take this conversation into therapy and really explore it and find out how those experiences with their parents are affecting their behavior now, and how they could maybe choose to do it differently. Our next question was, how have your attitudes and behaviors related to material possessions and or clutter changed over time? And here are the few of our favorite responses. Cynthia answered, I adopted my mother's attitude towards things initially. Now I realize things come into my life for a season. And that implied to me that she's learned to be okay with, she has it for a while and then she lets it go. And that must have not been exactly how her mother, like her mother kept it, got it and kept it forever. Ellen shared, I used to want to have so many things. Now I want to have much less, so the upkeep is simpler. And this is certainly true for all of us as we get older. Like, yeah, I really don't want to keep on with that. And Mona shared, living in an upstairs game room while my house was being rebuilt after being flooded by Harvey taught me that we could get by with a lot less stuff. But once we were back in the main house, it all became cluttered again as old habits reasserted themselves. I can't seem to learn how to stop the cycle. So like Cynthia, Ellen, and Mona suggest, over time, we realize we really can get by with less, and we live better and more comfortably with less rather than more to manage. Even though Mona reverted to her old habits, her flood experience reminded her that she can live with less too. It is something that you gather, that information you gather over time, that it isn't about having more and more stuff in the house nearly as much as living comfortably in the house. And so our target changes as we get older. Thanks to everybody who answered our survey this week. And now we're on to the main topic today.
Let's get on to our main topic. Every home is different, and every room of the house has its own special clutter problems. But with a thoughtful approach, you can look beneath the mess to see a plan and design in the chaos. Today, Gail is going to outline a process for analyzing the contents, purposes, and layout of almost any room to create a decluttering and organizing strategy.
The topic of how to create a strategy for decluttering your room was suggested to us by Nancy in response to one of our recent surveys. I thought it was a great idea, as this is what I do when I help a client. Sometimes it takes a while to clear out the old, so there may be many appointments spent on that part of the process, but I'm talking with a client and thinking about what they tell me as we do the clear out work anyway. It creates a lot of destruction, and my friend found the storm before the calm very unnerving. You're always taking apart something first, and that makes a bigger mess than when you started. But at the end, everything goes in according to the room plan, and you end up with a peaceful, well thought out space. So let's talk about the steps to get there. So the first thing is you want to decide what the room is supposed to be and how it's supposed to be used. And you can ask yourself these questions. Will it have one function? Like this room is going to be the guest room and that's all it's going to be. Or is it going to have multiple functions? Like this has got to be the guest room / office / craft room / fill in the blank. Sometimes a multi-function room has a whole bunch of functions all at once. What do you imagine or plan will take place in this room? Are you having sleepovers? Are you bill paying? Is it only going to be used when somebody's there to spend the night? Is it a room that somebody's going to work in every day? You want to think about, okay, I have this room, and regardless of what it was used for before, What do I want it to be used for now? What do I wish the room to, how do I wish the room to contribute to the household now? Who's going to use it? Is the whole family going to be in there? Is one family member going to claim the room and do a particular function in there? Like, you know, I'm going to use this as my office and nobody else can come in here. Or is this room up for anyone in the house whenever they want to use it? Is this a communal or common office space? Is this a communal craft space? That kind of thing. So you want to think about who all is going to come into the room and make use of it as part of the plan. And then you also want to ask, who's going to be responsible for caring for the room? Who's going to clean it up or straighten it? Who's in charge of managing the contents, making it function, keeping it clean, keeping it put up? Who's going to be the person that's on deck for that? Thinking your way through what that room is going to be is the first vision that you have about this room. And sometimes you have to look at the room and ignore everything that's in it in order to have this thought, because maybe it was a kid's room and now it's going to be the craft room or the exercise room. It might be that you are completely changing the function of the room. And so you want to think your way through, what all do I want to be doing in here now? If I was just moving into the house and I was designating this room for a purpose, what is that purpose? What's that function going to, or functions going to be? Imagine that. Think about everything that's going to happen there and who's going to be doing it and who's going to be cleaning it. That's step one.
Before we go on, since we were kind of interrupted by the disruption in the Zoom chat and comments, I want to share a few comments on the previous topic, which was the last survey question about parents and parents. The loaded conversation about parents. Cassandra said, my mother hid the clutter. As she got older, she wasn't able to hide it anymore.
Mm.
That's a familiar story.
Right. And often it's because the hiding spaces get full.
Right.
Or she may have lost the capacity to go and stash it.
Yeah. Naomi said, my mother kept a clean house and made me feel guilty about never doing enough to help. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't want to, this is the one of those things you have to go talk to the therapist about, right? Because basically your mother was unhappy and she was passing that bad mood on to you. And it really wasn't yours to have. She really needed to be managing that differently. And so having a conversation about shaking that off and not taking that on would be a good topic to explore.
Yeah. And we're not qualified to,
right?
qualified to give mental health advice, but it is interesting to examine these, the things, the attitudes and behaviors that people inherited.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice said, my mom was the organizer while my dad hyper-organized things behind file folders and cabinets until he no longer could. My mother never stood up to him on hoarding, so it got worse after she passed.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's always a hard one. And having somebody pass away, it's not unusual that someone who has tendencies towards keeping too much, and if they slide off out into the clinical diagnosis of hoarding, then often there's someone in their life that keeps the chaos at bay, that runs interference kind of, and manages to keep ahead of it a little bit so that it's not terrible. But when that person that runs interference moves out, gets divorced, passes away, then sometimes that person, you know, slides off the cliff because they don't have the active resistance that's happening.
Control. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not unusual.
Okay. Let me share just one more and then I'll let you get back to our regularly scheduled program. Seuss said, my parents never decluttered. Never. We didn't learn how. I'm still struggling with fear of letting things go. But with my son, I taught him using Fly Lady and he declutters and organizes easily on his own or with others. I am so proud of him.
That's awesome. Sounds like you need to teach yourself a flight, 80.
Well, that's just great, though. I mean, really, cheers to Seuss for breaking the cycle of familial clutter.
That's so awesome. How great. And you gave him some skill sets, right? Like you went and found somebody that could teach you how to do it, and you taught it to him, and you only served his life. He'll be able to do that for forever. And that will only make him happier and more peaceful in his own space. And how lovely that you did that. And, you know, now you get to talk yourself into, I taught my son, I can teach myself, right?
Returning to a strategy for organizing a room,
room.
We already talked about analyzing the uses, functions, and who will be using the room.
Right, the purpose of the room. Then the next thing that you go think about is deciding about the furniture or the other really large pieces in the room. So sometimes that's the lamp or the file cabinet or large piece of art. So you want to think about the big pieces and ask yourself, do those big pieces, that furniture and artwork, decor, do they make sense for how the room will function? Do those pieces that are in the room now, so imagine the kid's bedroom that's going to be converted to a craft room. It's probably got a dresser and a bed in there. And those aren't pieces that support it being a craft room, right? So once you decide what the purpose of the room will be and how you want to use it, you need to look at the furniture and decide whether the furniture has anything to do with that purpose or not. And so it might not make sense for those pieces of furniture to stay in that room. So it's time to think about that and see if they need to be moved on. Ask yourself if the furniture is a proper scale for the size of the room. So sometimes stuff gets randomly moved into a room from a much larger room or an open floor concept area, and then the piece is really too big for the room. So does it still make sense in a smaller room, or does it need to be replaced? Looking at the scale of the furniture, maybe it makes sense that there's a desk in what is going to be the office, but maybe the desk really isn't the correct size for the room. So you want to evaluate those large pieces. Do they support the purpose that you want? And are they an appropriate size for the room? Those are good things to figure out up front. If it doesn't really fit either the room size or the room purpose, then it's time to move it along. So schedule a donation pickup or some kind of transportation out of the house. You can always give it away to family and friends. You can try to sell it online, whatever you want to do. But getting those pieces of furniture out of the way, if they're not appropriate, will go a huge way towards making this room be how you want it. So, and they're just going to, if they're not correct for the room, they're just going to be in the way and cause you trouble as you try to organize the room. So first things first, get any big furniture out that doesn't work. Then the last thing you want to look at these large pieces, those large pieces and where they sit decide where everything else ends up. So you want to look at the furniture and decide if you're happy where the furniture is placed in the room. Would it be better if some of these pieces are moved to another area in the room? Should it go back against the wall or be on another wall? Is it in the place that makes sense, or does it need to be moved around? In order to make the room more functional, you may want to decide, oh, that's been over against that wall for forever, but what if I picked it up and put it on this wall, and then I could get into the room better, but then I could add storage here, or then I, you know, there's a million reasons why you might want to move the furniture around so that it better supports what you want to do inside that room. So think about the furniture. Does the furniture make sense? Is it the right size? Is it in the right place? Those are the things you want to ask yourself. And then work on getting those things to happen. Take out the stuff that doesn't fit, bring in something that does, move things around. And you can do that as part of the destruction of the room. You may have to move things out in order to do it, but that's the first layout part of the room, is to get the furniture in the right place based on where you want it and what you're going to do there. Okay. So next we're going to determine what collections of stuff are currently in the room and whether you still want them there. And you want to try not to self-censor yourself, like you're not looking at these collections so that you can talk yourself out of collections. You really want to claim anything that's still important to you, but you want to look at whether they're in the right room. So you'll need to consider all types of stuff in a room and make a conscious choice about if it will still live there or not. And don't answer this question based on, I have nowhere else to put this stuff but here. We get it. But you want to honestly decide if any collection needs to live in this room or needs to be somewhere else. And you can determine the somewhere else later. Right now, you're focusing on this room. And so you want to look at everything in there and say, does it make sense in here or not? So what qualifies as a collection? And what I mean by this is not just collection of tchotchkes. I'm talking about any collection of like items that you own. So consider paperwork, shoes, office supplies, books, photos, makeup, pillows, cat toys, craft supplies. These are all types of collections that you might have in the house. It's really any group of like items in your house that you're keeping for whatever reason. So if that collection doesn't make sense to stay because the room has a new purpose, move it out to another location for processing later. And you can donate it if you recognize that you don't actually want it. You can donate it. But if it's a collection that doesn't make sense in this room, it needs to get filtered and taken out of the room so that it's not there anymore. Okay. Having done that, you decide the purpose of the room, you've fiddled with the furniture, you've looked at all the collections and decided whether they need to stay. Then you can create an active work area of the room. So for an office example, the active work area is going to be the desk where you sit and work. For a guest bedroom, the active work area, that's a euphemism, is the bed and the bedside table. For a bathroom, the work area is going to be the countertop where the sink is. So decide what the working surface will be. And will it get heavy or occasional use? And are one or more people going to use this area? How many people are going to sit at this desk? Who's going to be in and out of that bathroom? Is somebody that lives there going to be using the guest bathroom? Or is the guest bathroom only going to be used by guests? Got to know that as you plan the room and what's going to happen in it. So what needs to be present or within easy reach of this work surface? You want to plan the placement of this work surface. So where's the desk going to be? Where's the bed going to be? And you want to plan the easy reach items so that it works for you as well. What needs to be within easy reach of where this work surface is going to be? As you think through your collections, well, these are the files that I need to get into all the time. And my work surface in the office is a desk. So those files that I need to get into all the time should be near the desk instead of across the room or in another room. They should be in here where you're going to use them, and they should be easy to get to. Next, you want to consider the storage areas of the room. So we're making a distinction here between where you're going to do the function of the room, what's the work surface going to be, and then everything else is the storage areas of the room. So what needs to be stashed there? How often do you have to get into it? Does the storage need to be portable here? Do I need to be able to pull it in and then put it away? That's going to be true in a multifunction room. If their guest room is also your office slash craft room slash music room, then when the guest comes, you probably are going to need to make some of the stuff go out of the way so that they can use the bed and use and get in and out with their stuff. And so some of the storage in that multifunction room may need to be a little bit more portable so it can go into a closet or be moved into another room. How hidden can the stuff be in the storage areas in this room? Does it bother you that the stuff is behind a cabinet and you can't see it? Or does it make you happy to put it all behind a cabinet so you can't see it? Got to ask yourself that question and find out what works for you. You always want to store like with like, but don't forget to stash things based on how frequently you'll get into it. So office supplies are a good example. We all have way too many. Let me just say that. And that office supplies is a collection. But you need some on the work area, but you don't need every office supply that you have on the work area because you're not going to use it all, right? So you need a working set. And you also need the back stock that you're going to store in a storage area in this room as well. So think about how frequently you're going to use something. And if there's a portion of it that is, I'm going to use it right now and I'm going to replenish with the rest of it later. Like, you don't put all of the toilet paper into where the toilet is. You put a couple of rolls in the toilet paper where the toilet is, and the rest of it goes somewhere else, right? So you can create that process for anything in a room. What are you only saving for archive purposes? Those are the things that you want to store in really out of the way places, like up top in a closet or under a bed. I'm thinking of photos, keepsakes, the camping gear that only comes out once a year, that kind of stuff. If you're saving things for very low use, or you're just saving them as history or archiving, then those kinds of things can go in the really weird, you got to climb up on a ladder in the closet to get it on top of the shelf in the corner that's around behind the door that's super hard to get to. Those spaces are great places to put the stuff that you're just keepsaking, basically, and you don't have to get into it very often, or if at all. What are you saving that you will possibly use in the next few months or once a month? Those things that you might use a little bit more frequently, that's stuff you need to have more readily accessible. So it needs to be in the center of the closet. It needs to be in a cabinet that's easily accessible instead of behind a bunch of stuff. Think about how often you need to touch it and make that storage happen in the room based on that frequency of use. We talked about this. If the collection is huge, consider breaking it into two parts. The working collection for the active zone gets parked in the work area, and the extra volume gets parked in a dry dock storage space, since you're not going to access it very much. Now you can filter the contents and remove furniture and large items that don't support the room's purpose. And then you can filter the items that will be removed from the room because they don't go with the room's purpose. And then you can filter the items that will stay in the room, looking for donatable items and for volumes that are too large for the purpose of the room. Think craft rooms right now. Just because you have it doesn't mean you have to keep it. Just because it's a possible crafty thing, you don't want to overstuff your room. So if you've designated a room and it has a storage capacity, then you want to filter the things that you're keeping. The collections that are going to stay in the room, you want to filter them for how much space the room actually has. You don't want the room to become unusable because you've stored so much stuff in there. And then it's time to set up the room. So consider the look of the items that are placed on the work surfaces, how much decor makes sense in the space, add the furniture that suits the space. So if you had to take out a super big desk, maybe you need to pull in a smaller desk that works better there, or maybe you want a table instead of a desk, that kind of stuff. So add the furniture that suits the space, and then place everything that you kept or you want to have in the new space or their new containers. And then you get to hang out in the newly rearranged space. You will arrive at a finished room, and won't it be exciting? Just know that it is a destructive process, decommissioning a purpose of a room and making a new purpose and moving all that furniture around and pulling all the contents out. It's going to be chaos for a while. And so just don't be surprised by that. And if it makes you crazy, you know, you can step out of the room for a little while and go, la, 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 I don't know that's there. You can live with it for a little while and then come back to it. And you'll be very excited when you start to do the building process. The building process is very rewarding, and it always comes at the end. So by then you're certainly ready for it to look nice, and it'll be great. It'll be fabulous.
Okay, let me share some comments.
Okay.
Janet said, I just did that, rearranged some furniture, and it feels great. I'm in a small condo, and I'm now using my desk also as a table so I can also entertain.
Oh, isn't that great? That's a good idea.
So getting clear on the desired functions.
Setting it up to support that. That's excellent.
Randy shared, on a visit last month, my 11-year-old grandson said it was amazing that I could keep fitting things into places that looked like they couldn't hold anymore. It wasn't it wasn't a compliment. His younger brother often walks around asking me why I have so much stuff.
Oh, there's a little reflection for you, huh? Okay. Well, there you go. You're overwhelming the grandson. So it's time to get on it. Oh, nothing like little kids from the mouths of babes, right? They say right, stuff that the rest of us are thinking, but don't say.
The brutal honesty of children.
The brutal honesty of an 11-year-old is unparalleled, right? Oh, he loves you anyway.
Shout out to Ginger and everyone who is dealing with or recovering from COVID right now. Ginger said, I was participating in a challenge to declutter 10 items a day. Now being sick, I've had to put it on hold.
But I've been
making a list of things to declutter.
Oh.
Way to go, Ginger, managing to still keep going and beat the pants off of most of us in terms of organizing. Ginger is one of our star organizers.
She's dedicated, man. Good for you. And, you know, don't make yourself crazy, but if it makes you feel better to make some lists of things you can get back to when you feel better, more power to you. It'll be there waiting for you when you feel better. It's not going anywhere, right?
She added, I think I need to hire someone to come bag up stuff, as I pointed out to them. Oh. Then they can dispose of it for me.
There you go. That works.
That's a good delegation.
Right. If you can make the decisions and point, somebody else can be the labor. Yeah, don't wear yourself out trying to do too much too soon. COVID makes you crazy energy deficient. So don't jump back to it too fast.
There's a lot of discussion of book collections in the chat.
Right.
Cassandra said that's her biggest problem. And Emily Sue said, yeah, I can relate, but I got rid of all my books because they take up so much space and I'm moving. I hope you can come to a solution. That's a toughie. We've talked about that a lot, about why people are so attached to books and why it is so difficult to thin those particular collections.
I know, right? It's usually book readers love their books and it's hard to thin the collection.
Rachel had a great suggestion. She said, I wrote a summary of some books that were impactful onto 3x5 cards. That way I can remember how it impacted me and the title and find it again and give away the book.
Oh, isn't that clever? And so then she has the title, and if she wants to go look it up in the library, something she can. Clever. I like that. One little index card takes up much less space than the book itself. Very good.
And Naomi says, for books, it might help to consider the ease of getting a copy again. Bestsellers that the library has 6 copies of, you don't need to archive it, as opposed to more obscure books that might be hard to find again.
Right. Well, and sometimes you give things away and then you regret it later, but this is the beauty of Amazon. You can always find another book again. It would be the rare book that did not exist somewhere on the internet to be recaptured again is from a bookstore, from a reseller. So it's a lot less difficult to procure than it used to be.
Several people have mentioned, you know, you can't necessarily count on libraries. Libraries don't keep everything. M said, I was shocked when our library got rid of a book I depended on when it was only about 4 years since it was published. A lot of libraries, though, are...
I mean, they have limited space too, right? Like,
right. Limited space and limited budgets, but a lot of them are moving towards stocking more eBooks. So that's something you can look for. If your library doesn't carry the book you want, check out whether they have it as an ebook, and also check out whether they have it as available for interlibrary loan, because you can often your local library will cooperate with other libraries in the same region to share books, so that not every library has to carry every single book.
Right. That's helpful.
Let's talk about next week before we get to the tittle.
Okay.
Next week is going to be our first Ask Us Anything show of 2023. We're going to talk about how to declutter large or cumbersome items Think pianos, massive furniture, derelict vehicles, and so on. We'll revisit how to organize a family art or craft space. And we'll offer tips to help you get out the door ready for whatever the world has in store for you.
This little productivity conversation.
Little productivity and cultivating good habits conversation there. Join us on January 24th, 2023 for Ask Us Anything, Clearing Big Stuff, Art and Craft Supplies, Getting Out the Door. All right, Gail, how about a tittle?
Here's the tittle. Think About a Room is the title of the tittle. So basically, this is the assignment to explore one room or space that's a bother, that's troublesome, that with a view toward developing a decluttering strategy that's specific to that one space. So you want to think about the room or the space that you've identified as the most chronically in need of decluttering or organizing attention, and answer these questions about the nature and the purpose of the room and your expectations about it. Does this room serve a single clear function or multiple functions? What activities are going to take place, or can you imagine taking place in this room? Who uses this room? Is it the whole family? Is it one family member, or is it anybody who lives in or visits your home? And who's going to be responsible for the care of the room, and whose role is it to clean or straighten up this room? This is sort of the starting point of tackling any room plan. And so thinking your way through these questions about the room is our assignment for you to get started. And let's see if you guys can think about a specific room and make a plan about it and come back and tell us about next week. That'd be awesome.
Wonderful. A few more comments about books and keeping track of books.
Everybody loves books.
Here's one I want to check out from an anonymous participant in Zoom. This person said, I use Libib, L-I-B-I-B, to keep track of books, including some ones I want to read. It's a library management online service.
App. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if there's a separate app or in addition to the web version, but right. libib.com
okay.
is where that one goes. And there is a home version that is free.
There's lots of way to manage books.
Well, and someone also mentioned if your library doesn't have it, check out archive.org, gutenberg.org, openlibrary.org, and Google Books. Some of those have, what's the term I'm looking for? The books for which the copyright has expired.
Oh, right.
That are
right.
Now in the public domain. That's the phrase I'm looking for.
Right.
there are a lot of books that are in the public domain that you can find free to read in a web browser or on your Kindle app or
your e-reader. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
My dad is one of those book people, and he likes to read the physical books, and he keeps thinking about me and having the idea that we will have to clear out his books when he's gone. So he has been pretty good about passing them on and not retaining all of them, but he still has his sub collection of, I'm not ready to give that up yet. We all do. We're not saying books are bad. Books are great. We want everybody to have books and be, reading and learning new things and having good entertainment. So it's just a matter of learning a way to manage the books in your space and be comfortable while you have them and while you're reading them.
I'm more interested in finding something to manage the list of books that I want to read. I use Goodreads, but I don't love the interface. I don't know. It's just a little, the long tabular lists it makes are a little cumbersome. Mm. I'm looking for something better. Okay. If you are watching this on YouTube, we'd love for you to join us live. To get notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by visiting cfhou.com/Facebook, or join our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We love to hear from you. So please keep your questions, comments, and topic suggestions coming on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere that you find us. You can always reach us through our website at clutterfairyhouston.com.
We love that you come and join us and listen to us talk every week. We're so glad you're here. Welcome to everybody that was new this week. Thanks so much for coming. We'll be back again next week talking about the next round of things. We hope to see you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.